Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
You don't get rid of me that easy. Sam back for the FL 72. I couldn't leave my partner in crime, Tom Carnduff, in the lurch, could I? So I am back after that stint on afternoons. Refreshed. Just had a quick drink of water. That's the conditions us radio presenters are working in these days. Welcome along, though. The FL 72 with you for the next hour. Talking all things Yorkshire football in the first part of the show, including Leeds United and that friendly against Bursaspor yesterday. The apparent incoming of Matthew Pennington from Everton. That's after Giuseppe Belushi was today released from his contract. I know Tom's got a few emotional words to say about Giuseppe Belushi. It's on a par, I think, with Owen Coyle and when he left Blackburn earlier in the year. Elsewhere, we're going to be talking about Brittason Belonga. Middlesbrough splashing their transfer record on him. Loads of other transfer news besides. And also, Paul Robinson's retired. As ever, we are live on Facebook this evening as we say good evening to Mr. Tom Carnduff. All right, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, all right.
Good. How's your extended radio day been?
Yeah, okay. It's quite tiring at times.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more tiring than it looks, especially when you're out of the mix. You just come in, I'll just come in, do this hour a week with you.
Yeah, and then just go.
Of course, you make it so easy for me.
Thanks, I guess. Thanks, yeah. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm trying to pay you a compliment, Tom.
Thanks. Well, I always
take it, lad. Come
I get
on.
Suspicious when you're nice to me.
I'm just so tired, I can't be horrible.
Oh, that's a
it's
positive.
Not that bad, isn't it?
That's
that
a positive.
Yeah, but I enjoyed that. It was good. Good show. Thanks to all of the guests. Erin from Ripping Races. We have Dave Tindall on talking about golf. We'll get that on audio beam for you later about the Open. And we had some transfer talk as well from Odds Monkey.
Oh.
Odds Monkey. Graham Bailey joined us to talk about Neymar and that £200 million potential transfer from Barca to PSG. I suppose the championship equivalent of that is Brittason Belonga going to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, which is just as good, I'd say.
Just as balmy. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Get your questions in on Facebook or just your comments, whether you agree or disagree with anything we are saying. Everybody is welcome. And we'll kick off, Tom. We'd normally kick off with Leeds United. We'll kick off with them.
Yes.
They're in action last night in a friendly. Bradford are in action tonight against Guiseley. Derek Clark will join us in a bit for a bit of a chat from that one. Huddersfield, are they in action? They're playing now, I think.
They're playing Sandhausen. I think they were losing last time I checked, but I'm not quite sure. They're away at the moment, are they? I think they're in Austria as well, alongside
Everyone's
Leeds.
Going to Austria, aren't they? Well,
Austria seems to be the hip place for pre-season tours. I've noticed that. But then they seem to be shutting down a lot of the friendlies, the police and the local authorities. So it's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one.
Tell me about this one last night then. Leeds United, also in Austria, were playing Bursaspor. And it's supposed to be on YouTube or on Turkish TV as well, something like that. But no.
Bursaspor have a TV channel in Turkey, which, fair enough, you know, same as kind of over here, club TV. Leeds agreed to play Bursaspor. Now, we heard nothing of this friendly until Bursaspor. The only info we got about anything was Bursaspor was saying, we're playing Leeds. You know, we're tweeting, we're showing the game. So you could watch about the first 20 minutes. And then it turns out that the stream was taken down. I think it was UEFA, according to reports. Turkey side of things said that UEFA had said they can't stream it. Because apparently the same reports, I don't know how true this is, we've heard nothing from Leeds, but Leeds hadn't told UEFA that the game was happening. So according to UEFA, the game wasn't happening. So they weren't allowed to stream it. But then Leeds mentioned nothing whatsoever about this game. Last night they came out and said, well, they had an agreement with Bursaspor that, as part of the agreement, that they wouldn't publicise, tweet, stream the game or anything. Which I just think is weird. Why does it matter that Leeds are playing Bursaspor? Play it behind closed doors, fair enough, but why? You'd at least mention it, go, oh, by the way, tomorrow we're playing Bursaspor. It was, of course, Leeds were meant to be playing a German outfit, Ingolstadt. The local authorities labelled it a high-risk friendly. Said Leeds couldn't play it. The game didn't get played, blah, blah, blah. So they ended up playing playing Bursaspor in a game that didn't happen.
Officially.
Bursaspor won 3-0 in the end, but apparently it was a bit of a mixed bag of a Leeds team, so you can't look too much into it. But yeah, it's just a whole affair involving it was a bit weird.
Yeah, bit of a bizarre situation. Never heard anything like it. But then you also had some of the Leeds fans that had turned up broadcasting the game on their phones on Periscope. And there's one clip where there's like a, I don't know what it is, a club official or something like that, or security.
Yeah,
it comes
yeah.
down and shuts it down and tells them to
I
get
think
lost.
The funniest part of that, because it was obviously, it seemed to be, obviously, I don't know, he's a Bursaspor fan or whatever. He was periscoping it. They came along and said, if you don't, we're going to tell you to the police and that. Why? I don't know. It's a friendly. And then the funny thing was, in the second half, he then started periscoping again on a new one. And I mean, we're not saying illegal streaming is great, because it's not. But you've got to admire his persistence and the fact that he's going, well, I am going to show it. So whatever you say. But yeah, the whole kind of episode of it, the whole day, the whole game, everything, it's just very weird that I understand not publicising it, but you'd at least say, look, we're playing Bursaspor, you know, so our squad is getting a workout. It just seemed a bit weird that they had this agreement that they wouldn't mention that the game was happening. It just seems a bit, well, why not? What's the harm in saying you're playing them? We're playing a game. Great, good opposition. Going to be a tough test. Yeah, it just seems a bit weird.
A strange one. And yeah, Leeds, again, they released a statement apologising for all this miscommunication, I suppose, and invited fans to an open training session on Friday.
But I understand that it was out the club's hands, the whole Ingolstadt affair, because by any means, apparently other teams have had games cancelled in the same area that I've seen as well. But we're very quick to praise Leeds, and rightly so, but I think at the same time you've got to go, look, it's not been great, the communication's not been great, there are people over there who I know who are just staying in Germany, who are literally just staying in Germany, in Munich, because, well, there seems to be more there, because there's nothing. It's great putting an open session on Friday, but Leeds have a game on Thursday. So you got to bear in mind, people have travelled out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, have paid for 2 weeks, whatever. And they're not able to see the team, know nothing. If they're doing an open training, why have they not done it yesterday, today? Done something in that form? Because it's not... I know people who work their holidays around where Leeds go on pre-season. And you think holidays are expensive enough a year in advance. So to book it a few weeks in advance when pre-season is announced, it's going to cost a lot of money. I just think it... The whole thing, and then the whole thing with the stream being taken down and everything, it just adds up to just an incredible pre-season tour. It's similar to when Leeds went to Italy under Hockaday, where that just seemed to be a bit of a shambles as well. And this is slowly seems to be becoming that. It seems it just seems a bit weird. It just the whole thing involving the cancel game, the new game, everything. It's just a bit bizarre the way everything's kind of been dealt with.
A little bit strange. Today, Leeds released a statement. They have released Giuseppe Belushi from the last year of his contract. Not surprising anybody, that news. I suppose just a formality, really. But yeah. It's got you a little bit upset.
Yeah, I've been crying for a good few hours. Happy tears. No, we touched on it last week. We said last week that we were led to believe he was going. That's been the case. He hasn't gone to Austria. Nothing more than what we can add to last week. I think the priority, as we said, was if Leeds are getting the centre-backs, great, but they need to get rid of him. He needs to go, because if you want to achieve success, you need good personalities. I think he's highlighted that he's not a good personality. I don't think he's a good person to have around a team, especially a team who want to achieve success. The whole everything from the sick note 6 to the tweets, the attitude on the pitch, the performances, I think that goes to say it as well. So I think it's a good move. It's just surprising that they've released him. In terms of, does that mean they've released him to let him go somewhere else? Which seems to be he's off to PAOK in Greece. But
yeah. I was hoping he's going to sign for Borough.
Imagine that after all that, Gary Monk goes, he's the one that I wanted to bring. I don't want Kyle or Pontus, I want Giuseppe. But it's good to see that Leeds have made the move and gone, look, he needs to go. We need to get rid of him. And that's paved the way for centre-backs to come in, take his place. I just think that was really, we always touch on incomings. Money transfer priorities, got to make sure you get rid of players you don't need. Because he was on a lot of money at Leeds as well. He's on a lot of money for what the rest of the squad was, because apparently he was pushing 17,000 a week, or 17K a week. That's a lot of money for a player who you're not involved in, you're loaning out. So obviously they needed to get rid of him, and yeah, they've done it. It is a good move to finally kind of move him on, and hopefully they can start pushing in the right direction.
Yep, the best possible outcome for both the parties. Belushi can go on and get on with his career, and Leeds United can move forward as well. It seems, according to the Twitter god of Leeds United news, Phil Hay, Matthew Pennington from Everton will be coming in on a season-long loan. A couple of people getting involved on Facebook on this. Gavin Chapman already pleased with Pennington. Seems to be highly regarded. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I think Pennington, for the role that he's going to play, I don't think he's going to be a starting centre-back for Leeds, but I think he's... What Leeds need is depth in the defensive positions. That's a very good depth player to get in. He's very promising youngster. Apparently the only thing that kind of lets him down is his pace a bit, but apart from that, he's kind of been described as similar to Jagielka, that type of mould, obviously with the Everton theme as well. Good move, good addition. The image circulated earlier on social media of someone at Thorpe Arch, I think it was, at the Leeds Academy, looked to appear to be Pennington, but then, like you said, Phil Hay, who's pretty much always spot on over at the Yorkshire Evening Post, tweeted about it, and it's come out since that Christiansen said he's flying out to Austria tomorrow, will train with the squad tomorrow, so it seems to be a done deal, season-long loan, and very good addition. The most promising thing for Leeds is they're still on the hunt for one or two other centre-backs as well, one of which you imagine will be a starting player. They seem to have given up a bit on Kyle Bartley. It looks like he's involved at Swansea more than they expected, but regardless, that they've obviously got the targets, and you place more trust in the transfer kind of policy they've got now, that it seems to be quite positive. They seem to do their scouting. They've shown, with Vernon and Eaton, now Matthew Pennington, they do know the domestic market as well as the European one. So yeah, it seems a good addition, and most importantly, it's all about depth, and I think, for a depth player is what he'll be. He'll do a job.
Indeed, yeah, looks a good addition. Elsewhere on Facebook, on related news to that, Cooper needs to go as well, says Gavin Chapman, with Johnny Brook backing him up, saying Cooper needs to go as well. Would you be shipping out Liam Cooper?
I don't know about Liam Cooper, because I can understand the idea to get rid of him. It's where he goes if you get rid of him, because I can't imagine Leeds are going to get him rid on the cheap. I still think he can do a job. I just wouldn't rely on him as a starting centre-back. If he comes in like Pennington for depth, which Leeds need, if they are to add another centre-back, which apparently they are looking to do, then they'll have the new centre-back and Janssen as the centre-back partners. Cooper, Pennington, maybe one more as an addition, but they're players that you can trust that, as Janssen showed last year, his suspension is a bit of a problem. If you need someone to come in for a game or two, Liam Cooper's the one. I think he stepped up for the Brighton at home game, did a very good job in a very good team performance. So I think as long as Leeds aren't relying on him and saying, look, you need to play as a starting player, I think he's all right for depth. I think if to come in for a game or two at a time, do a job, I think he can be relied on. I think the problems start to spring up a bit when they're relying on him more and more, where he's having to play an extended spell of games. But with Pennington coming in on a season-long loan, you'd imagine that he'd probably be the priority, maybe over Cooper, because you've only got him for a season. You're probably going to want to use him a bit more.
There we go. Let us know what you think about Tom's comments there. A couple of you saying that Liam Cooper maybe should be out of the door. But I suppose it's important for Leeds that they do have some consistency in the squad from last year. A lot of new faces now coming into that group. So important just to have a few steady players from kind of last season.
Yeah, definitely. You can't... We touched on this before where... I don't think it's too much of a problem that Leeds are signing a few players from elsewhere without championship experience, because they've got so many with championship experience. You know, the suggestion seems to be Green's seems to be staying. So you've got Green, you've got Ayling, you've got Janssen, Berardi, O'Kane, Vieira going into the midfield. Of course, Chris Wood up front, Sacco played last year. There came our roof as well, Suleiman Dakara, the list goes on. There are plenty of championship experience players, so it's not too much of a problem. But someone like Cooper, who... He's been captain a few times. He was captain at Chesterfield as well. Maybe he's got that leadership quality. Maybe he is someone who stands up in the changing room and says when stuff's not going right, whether it's his fault or not, blah, blah, blah. So I think for a personality, he might be quite good to have around. But yeah, I don't think it's too much of a problem, the issue of non-championship experienced players, because like I said, that the keeper Liam Cooper around, that's someone with the experience that you need to achieve success.
Pennington comes in, Belushi's now gone. You're saying keeping hold of Liam Cooper. Do Leeds need anything else? Are they pretty much done now?
I think they need another centre-back, maybe two, maybe a second being a youngster that, you know, you can put at the bottom of the, you know, fifth choice, whatever, but he's going to develop, learn. A starting centre-back's a definite. I don't think Leeds need too much else. Maybe a natural left back. I like Berardi, I really, really do. I'm a big fan of him, watching him play. But if Leeds can get a natural left back in, it might help out a bit more. Someone who's more comfortable in that position. It gives them depth as well. If Berardi or Ayling pick up suspension injury, you're kind of stuck with, well, Coyle's out on loan. Tyler Denton, who seems to be a promising player but doesn't have much experience. So maybe a natural left-back would be quite a good addition for Leeds. But like I said, touching on the transfer policy before, I think you've got more trust in the current Leeds board and the scouting, the networks that they've set up to bring players to the club.
Going to be interesting to see how many more Leeds United bring in. We're going to take a quick break on the FL72. But right now, when we come back, we'll be talking more Yorkshire news, including Hull City, the Sheffield clubs, and we'll talk some Bradford City as well.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, on the FL72. Right now, Tom, we shall crack on and talk some more Yorkshire news. Please keep getting in touch on Facebook. Paul Knight's got in touch. Matthew Pennington, a good signing for Leeds. Johnny Brook agrees with you, sir, says that Leeds do need a left-back. Keep all your comments coming in. Just put a question out, which Yorkshire sides will be up there in the Championship, because we're going to talk about the rest of them right now, and we'll kick off with Hull City, because are they going to have any decent players left?
I don't think so. You touch on Yorkshire teams are going to be up there. Are Hull City going to be up there? Not much.
They're going to be down there.
Yeah, say they're struggling. All the links at the moment are players going here, players going there, and I suppose that's a problem when you're an ex-Premiership team with ex-Premiership Premier League standard players. You know, Andy Robertson linked with Liverpool, El Mohammadi linked with Aston Villa, Jakupovic linked with Reading and Leicester. It just seems to be constant outgoings, and the players they're bringing in don't exactly fill you with confidence. You're not going, oh, that's a top quality championship level signing. It seems to be loan players from higher up clubs in the Premier League pyramid. So, yeah, it doesn't fill you with too much confidence. You can't see them challenging. You can't see them being up the top. You're looking at... You just spoke about Leeds then. Look at Leeds' summer compared to Hull City's. It's... You know which side you're probably more confident are going to be challenging at the right end of the table. It just seems very negative over on Humberside at the moment.
Indeed, losing Tom Huddleston as well. It's a blow.
I think that's a blow, but you're looking at the price they paid for him, £2 million he went for. I think that's, for the price you're paying and the player you are getting in return, that's a very solid addition for Derby. I think, you know, in the modern market especially, to get a real championship experienced central midfielder, pretty experienced at any level, yeah, I think that's a very decent addition. And for Hull, I think they're the players that you probably struggle to replace the most when you think about it, because in terms of the price that you've sold it for, you're going to have to try and replace that experience, that quality. You're not going to get that on the cheap, especially nowadays. You're really going to have to kind of scout around to find that replacement. And yeah, it's another one. So the names I've already mentioned, it just seems very negative.
Yeah, and the concerning thing there was that Huddleston said that Derby activated a buyout clause in his contract. Imagine that's some kind of relegation clause at £2 million. Seems a bit of a bargain, really, for a player of such quality. Still 30 years old, even though he has had his injury problems. But then, once that had been activated and that bid had come in, that was when Hull made him an offer of a new contract.
Yeah.
But at that point, you know, he'd already maybe got itchy feet. The club hadn't already approached him on a new deal into the last year of his contract, so he decided to go.
Yeah.
Maybe that another concern there for Hull fans for the future, yeah, is that the club are doing this kind of business, that they're not entering into transfer talks. Is it just a bit of a token gesture for the chairman then to come out and say, oh, well, we tried to keep him, we offered him a new contract, but you did when... another bid had been accepted elsewhere.
I think, though, when you look at Derby and Hull, which would you rather be at the moment? Derby seem to be on the way back up. They seem to be in a decent rebuild under the new boss. I say new, Robert's been there for a bit, but they seem to be more positive. They seem to be on a right track. And the problem is, you're looking down the Championship and you're saying, right, compare Hull to Villa. Right, you'd rather be at Villa. Compare Hull to any of the other Yorkshire clubs, really. You look at Leeds, they'd probably rather be there. Sheffield Wednesday, probably rather there. You could even say Sheffield United. Coming up from League One, they seem to be heading more in the right direction than Hull are at the moment. They seem to have... Understandably, they've got quality players who are going to want to leave, want to go to the Premier League because they are that quality. But where's the replacements? Surely, with the amount of players who seem to be leaving, one marquee, decent player to go, look, we're serious about, you know, maintaining another promotion push, might get the fans on side. But you're looking going, well, the players they're bringing in aren't matching the quality that they're losing. No way whatsoever. And you're comparing them to the squads, the teams around them. A new manager, of course, who, you know, he seems to have a decent CV, but we don't know how well he's going to do, whether he's been in a situation like this before. Remains to be seen, but it just seems very, very negative. You compare them to the clubs around them and you go in, well, I'd rather be there, I'd rather be at this club, I'd rather be at that club than Hull, because the only way they seem to be heading is further on down. It just doesn't seem very positive at the moment.
Not at all. Hull City, no one's really putting them up. Johnny Brooke says Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, top six.
Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds should be top six this season. For Leeds, you're looking, the only issue they've got is it's a new owner, a new manager, head coach, whatever, and a new team. It either works, either that you go and storm the league or you struggle, because it does take time. It does take time to mould together, but I think looking at the players Leeds are bringing in, Thomas Christiansen as well, I mean, I spoke to him for the first time after the North Ferriby game. He's just focused on getting his job done by the sounds of it. And he's very quiet in terms of he's just getting on with it. He seems to be doing his job. He seems to have done his research on the squad, the players he has got. So you think, you know, those two teams in Wednesday and Leeds should be there. I think the issue with Sheffield United is they've got a good squad. They've got momentum, but top six is a bit of a push, I think, from this year. This year, it might in a couple of seasons' time, but just think the teams elsewhere. There are lots of teams who this year are genuine, we've been through it before, who are genuine promotion quality. Just think there's too many teams ahead of them to do it. But Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday should be a top six season for them.
Who would your six be right now? If you had to pick a top six in the Championship, you've got Middlesbrough, the amount of money they've spent coming down with a strong squad. Villa, again, signing good players. Sheffield Wednesday would have to have them in there. I think it's got to be Derby's. Something's got to come together for Derby eventually. They've got the right manager now for me in Gary Rowett. And then, yeah, at sixth spot, could it be Leeds United? Will Fulham be strong again? I think it's going to be tough. Then you've got the likes of the Wolves you mentioned. That could be anything, that experiment that they've done there with the transfers. Birmingham, Harry Redknapp, I don't think he's there to mess around. So I think there's going to be a nice fight for that last sixth spot. But I think some of those teams look really strong for me.
I think now we've got rid of Newcastle and Brighton as well. Two teams who we were kind of expecting to do well last year anyway. So that's two kind of, not definite, but teams you really fancied. And now it throws it more open a bit. I think it's different this year that you've got the likes of teams you mentioned, you know, your Villas, etc., who Middlesbroughs, who ex-Premier League teams are going to want to be there. But the resurgence of other teams, touched on Wolves, touched on Leeds, where every year Leeds seem to be, oh, you know, we want playoffs. But until last season, arguably, they hadn't really showed it. And it's even more so this year that they are genuinely showing. They've spent a lot of money. Radrizzani's already spent £12 million odd this transfer window. Bought back Ellen Road as well as another one. There seems to be a lot of positivity around, so they actually seem to be showing they are serious for it. There's Fulham as well, who seem to be another team who are on a bit of a resurgence, a building for something. So you've got the addition of those teams who may have said before we're serious about promotion but have never really showed it, whereas now it seems to be, all right, yeah, we want to be a part of it. So I think it makes it better this year. Just makes it more difficult to predict.
A few comments coming in on Facebook. Johnny reckons Villa bottom half. I can't see that. Villa got to be top six for me this year. I think
good team
going to storm
this year.
With Steve Bruce after that half a season to sort things out.
Yeah, it's a rebuild, wasn't it, last year, more than anything, I think.
Yeah. Mick Terrell is having a little bit of a dig at you. Got rid of Brighton and Newcastle. There are actually three teams that went up, Tom.
I know, but...
Three teams.
Right, so would we have expected Huddersfield to get promoted? That's what I'm saying. We may have said... We said they'd do well, but I don't think even we said... We're like, oh, yeah, they'll get promoted. Newcastle and Brighton were certainties pretty much for promotion, whereas Huddersfield weren't. But I'm looking forward more to watching Huddersfield in the Premier League than pretty much anyone else, to be honest.
Mick, feel free to get back in touch and have another go at Tom. Gary Chapman says, tough league. What about Norwich top six also? Yeah, exactly. There's so many teams
exactly.
You can make a case for. I don't think there's necessarily, maybe with the business that Borough are doing now and the fact they're getting so many players in.
Yeah.
For me, I do see them being the ones to beat, even though it could end up a bit of Sheffield Wednesday syndrome and they just end up with too many players and they just about got over the line the other season when they went up for automatic promotion despite throwing loads of money at it. So nothing guaranteed with Middlesbrough. I think they're in a real good, strong position. They're the ones to beat for me. So, yeah, looking at the rest of the teams, though, I think it's pretty even.
It is.
Anyone could be anything at this point.
Thing is, though, with Borough... What you got to remember, this Gary Monk this season, this is the first season with real expectation on him. Because when he was at Swansea, he came into the job where, obviously, being a player, going into the management, there wasn't the expectation. He did very well at Swansea, really, overall, over his entire time there. There wasn't much expectation for them, hence why he got the job. He came to Leeds where, you know, previous to Gary Monk, Leeds were looking at the likes of, you know, Bristol Rovers managers, MK Dons manager and Carl Roberts. They were looking at that type. They were looking at the leagues below. Gary Monk was quite a refreshing choice, a positive choice. So even at Leeds, you can make the argument that there was a bit of hope, but because of previous season's performance, there wasn't overly an expectation. There may have been a little bit that maybe could sneak playoffs, but there wasn't. Whereas this year, Borough, everyone's going, well, they've got to get promoted, or they're going to get promoted. Mm. They're going to finish top two. It's how he copes with that pressure of it's new. He's actually expected to do well now. Whereas before it was like, well, might not, anything else is a bonus. But now you're going, well, you're spending £15 million on players, on one player, you've got to do well. It's kind of how he responds to that pressure.
Indeed. Gavin Chapman says, Villa, Middlesbrough, top, he thinks. Johnny said, very hard league. James has asked a couple of times, Sheffield Wednesday, top two. Discuss, Tom.
I don't know. I think they're a good side. And you fancy them every season now for top six. They seem to have cemented themselves as a top six club. I don't know. I think top two is maybe just a bit too much for them. They seem to be like any team, but Wednesdays, they seem to have this bit where they do have a blip, they do play badly, and the results suffer. I just think, I don't know. I think they have got a very good squad, a great squad, a great manager in Carlos Carvalhal as well. Really big fan of him. They've got good ownership, good club. Everything's about them is right, in the right direction. But I just think for them, I just think top two is a bit too much. I think it's maybe, for where they're at now, I think it's maybe just a step too far. But playoff seems to be their certain ground. That fifth to seventh spot seems to be kind of theirs. I just think top two, I think it's a bit too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I backed them for a much better season. Last year, I thought they'd be top two. Last year, Sheffield Wednesday, I thought they'd be going up automatic. Obviously, I wasn't too impressed. But I think George Boyd coming in, that's an excellent signing. I think they'll be top three.
I think they'll improve for on me, last year.
Yeah, for me, it's Borough, Villa, Sheffield Wednesday.
The thing is, you've got to factor in a surprise package, haven't you? You always get a surprise package team and you don't know who it's going to be. But obviously last year it was Huddersfield, Brentford making the playoffs not too long ago. There was another one. But yeah, like I said, I like Sheffield Wednesday in terms of what they're doing, the structure they've got in place, the fact that they've got an owner who's willing to put money into it. I just think top two is just that at the moment, at the current time, is just maybe a step too far for them. But if you go up via playoffs, I don't think you'll really care either way.
Yeah. I'd like to see Sheffield Wednesday maybe just tighten it up a bit. Just ship a few out. Just have a nice, good 22 players. So they've definitely got the quality there. I think last year they suffered from the manager maybe not being able to pick a consistent team week in, week out. And certain players were all over the place a little bit. And James is saying there, 25 goals, Jordan Rhodes this season. Mark my words, he's saying they need a huge season from Rhodes this time.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously now he's permanent from this summer, I think. Like I said, I think it's a case of maybe having too many first-team players. How do you keep a squad happy when you've got to play everyone to keep everyone happy? You know, you're making little changes. It's just finding consistency. And like I said, if they can trim the squad down a bit, they'll do well. Rhodes should have a fantastic season. You know, Wednesday create a lot of chances. The quality they've got, you touch on George Boyd coming in, he'll really, you know, help that chance creation. And Rhodes is, when the chance is, you know, presented to him, you trust him to finish. And he's also got quality to create his own chances as well. So it should be a 20-25 goal season if Wednesday are going to be where they should be in terms of up the top, pushing top two, maybe not breaking in. You'd imagine Jordan Rhodes will get somewhere between 20-25 goals if that's to happen.
Yeah, big season needed from Jordan Rhodes. Loads of you getting involved in this on Facebook. Now a few people saying Jordan Rhodes, no chance. Andy Shaw, I think Leeds will have it won by Christmas. Paul, I presume, is a Town fan. He's not bothered at all. Mick, he definitely feels it would be tougher for any team to get out of the Championship this year, especially with the quality that existed before the last three came down from the Premier League. I'm trying to get a comment that came through a few moments ago. It's scrolled away from me. Let's see if I can find it. I'm just turning my volume down. Someone that came in with a top six pick. In fact, no, I can't get there.
Fair enough.
It was Paul. He went for Villa, Borough, mm-hmm. Wednesday, Reading. I'm not sure about Reading this year. Derby and Sunderland. And you're definitely not keen on Sunderland.
No, I can't. Reading and Sunderland, I can't see what Reading have done that have suggested they're going to be equally as good as last year. I just can't. I think the thing with last season's playoff final was, with the greatest respect to both teams, and especially, you know, I really liked watching Huddersfield last season. I was a massive fan of going to the John Smiths when I got to cover them to watch them play. It seemed to be a case of that playoff final was they had to win. Either side had to win because you felt that they might not come that close again. Huddersfield were on the right track massively, but you just wondered how much momentum and that belief throughout the season really spurred them on. It was the same with Reading. where you feel now you're going, well, I just think everyone else has strengthened so significantly and they haven't, that why they'd be anywhere near it. And Sunderland as well, they can't be anywhere nearly sure. They've got to be, if they're going to be anywhere near one of the zones in the table as it is, it's got to be relegation. If they're going to be, you're going to put them up anywhere, because they're in rebuild. The squad they've got's not great. Fair enough, they've got a good manager in Simon Grayson, but it is going to be a multi-year project that they need to do. So this year they're going to have to, they might have to settle for 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, somewhere around there, but you can't see in playoffs.
No, I think middle of the table, I think it depends. I think, like I said the other week, I don't know whether Simon Grayson has walked into one. So no, he did a good job at Preston with very, very little budget. But I don't know, Ellis Shaw, you just never know with him. I think he'll find it hard to bring in the right kind of players that he wants. And, you know, Preston, again, like you said, it's a rebuilding job. So they knew that. They knew it's always going to be difficult for them to compete with the amount of money that's available in the Championship these days. Ellis Shaw, I don't think he's realistic. So I don't think I can see Grayson being out of there by October, November, if things don't start well.
The problem is it's a long-term... It's the thing Sunderland have is it's long term. It's going to take time to rebuild after a terrible Premier League season. If they want to be in the Premier League again, and not just to be in the Premier League, but actually stand a chance of doing all right in the Premier League, it's going to take a couple of years of building in the Championship. And the problem is there's no such thing as long term in football anymore. It seems to be just, you know, this mysterious phrase of it's a long term, it's going to happen, but then they don't give it. They give managers three-year contracts and sack them after a season because it's not worked out. And like you said, it's owners who maybe have that expectation, that belief that, oh, yeah, we'll give them multi-year because we're going to back them for multi-year. But then they're not willing to, you know, the only way you can do it is throw money at it. So if they're not willing to throw money at it, they're going to have to accept it's going to take a couple of years. And that's what Sunderland have. That's the issue they have. And they need to realise it is going to be a multi-year thing if they are to get back up.
Yep. Definitely, just don't think Ellis Shaw is that kind of guy. But we shall see. Maybe we'll start the Simon Grayson dynasty at Sunderland. We shall see. Plenty of you getting stuck in on Facebook, stuck into each other as well at the moment. A few Huddersfield Town fans joining in. We need to do something to get a bit more town in this show.
I know, I'm annoyed they got promoted because I liked talking about them last year.
Mm.
But now they're not Football League anymore, are they? It's more a Yorkshire football show thing.
Indeed, we shall work on something to get town in, because
town watch.
We have some great town interaction. Yeah, maybe a town watch. Maybe we'll just stay on forever.
Yeah, you're never leaving.
And do more. Philip says, shows the intent from Borough spending 40 million on a Samba Longa and Sunderland less than a million on Vaughan.
Yeah. I mean, the Vaughan signing's weird, to be honest. I don't see... If you're a... Touch on it there, the Asamoah Longa thing, but if you're a team who are truly serious about being promoted, do you go and spend 900k on James Vaughan? He might get a few goals, but he's not prolific Championship standard that you need to be at the top end of the table if you want to truly be there. So it's just a deal that doesn't seem to make much sense for a team who want to be promoted. You're looking at Middlesbrough, who are spending 14 million on one player. I mean, that's more than, for example, you know, Leeds have spent their entire summer. Most teams in this league have spent their entire summer. So, yeah, I just can't see Sunderland showing anything at the moment, the intent, the anything that gives off the impression that they want to be promotion candidates next year.
He's got a decent goal-scoring record, Asamoah Longa, but... As the Sheffield Wednesday fan James was pointing out before, saying 25 goals for Rhodes this season, mark my words. For the price tag, how many goals should he be scoring a Samba Longa? He should be 20 goals, 25 goals a season for Borough in the Championship, 25-plus next year with that kind of price tag?
I think the issue is, though, the problem is now we've got... The average going rate for a Championship striker is about 15 million quid now. Maybe it's going to get to a point where now maybe it's 20 if they're, you know, extra special. So it seems to be 15 million, but then not everyone can score 25 goals a season, 30 goals a season. It just doesn't happen. So it's difficult to say, yes, definitely, this is what he needs to score, this is how many he needs to get. I just think it's a bit of a risk, isn't it? Mm. Because, fair enough, he's had injury problems, but it's not, he's not had a prolific season. I think, you know, on the Asamoah Longa thing, a point made by Darren McAntony, the Peterborough chairman, that, you know, fair play to Nottingham Forest for taking a risk on him. Peterborough spent a bit on him, I think. They spent £1.3 million to get him originally. So he's always kind of had a big price tag. The £6 million when he went to Forest, £15 as Middlesbrough have come out and corrected and said, actually, it wasn't £14, we spent £15 million quid on him. So there you go, in a weird statement they put out.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, it was like, actually, it was £15, not £14 as reported. They just had a massive go at the Middlesbrough Gazette in a press release. It's quite entertaining. But
fair enough. Yeah, but if you'd bought Mrs. Carndoff a present, it was
£15 million.
It maybe said on the tag that it was £14, and actually it was marked up wrong as £15. And she was thinking you're a bit of a cheapskate. You want to set that record straight that it was over £15. You'd spent £15.
Right. Who gives gifts with price tags? Right. B, that's £14's a weird price to pay for a gift. And I just don't see why it matters. You know you spent £15 million. It's not like they've gone and they've signed Asamoah Longa for £2.5 million. Right. £14-15 million. I don't think it truly matters. Does it? Does it require a press release to go, actually, I think you'll find it was £15 million, not £14. Does it matter? But back to the original point, where he seems to carry a big price tag, and the potential's there. It seems to be a lot of potential. He's already shown what he can do. You know, he's got more to come, or apparently he's got more to come. You judging by the amount of teams are gambling on him. It's just that pressure, isn't it? We spoke about Monk having the pressure on him. Now the pressure's on Asamoah Longa to go out and score.
Liam points out the fact that he has a lot of injuries, Asamoah Longa. He also says that Jordan Rhodes will be top scorer, providing that Sheffield Wednesday play to his strengths. They didn't do that enough last season. Gavin Chapman's got an easy equation to work out how many goals Asamoah Longa should score. Chris Wood was £3 million, so times it by 420 goals next season, please.
How many is that? That's a hat-trick a game, isn't it? Well, no, he can have a couple of goals a game. Mm. He can have like a day off.
He'll be injured for 5 games, so...
Big ask. It's a big
factor
ask.
That in. Factor in.
To be honest, I'd quite like to take that formula and use it on anything. Because, you know, it's a week where Michu is retired, isn't he?
Has he?
Swansea's retired. And remember there was a time just in our economy, right, where it was Freddo's, right? Yeah, and we disregarded Freddo. Or no, Freddo's came into the equation because of the whole 10p thing. But they also put Michu in. So no matter what was happening, it's like, oh, the government have spent this much on this project. They go, oh, you could buy 25 and a half Michus for that. Mm. It seemed to come in an equation, so maybe we could do something like that with the Chris Wood.
The Chris Wood factor.
Goal swing meter thing. I'd quite like to bring that in. Bring the Chancellor, see what
we can
do.
We need a new feature, so you can work that out for next week. The Chris Wood equation. Work it out, and we'll have some kind of ongoing...
Yeah,
comparison throughout the season.
Sure, that would be good.
I'm sure it will. a gentleman actually called Chris Wood says, if Asamoah Longa is worth £14 million, how much is Chris Wood worth?
Chris Wood's worth the same because he's only done it in one season.
So you'd take £14 million.
The offer
comes in for Chris Wood.
I'd say he's worth £15 million. I wouldn't say Leeds should take it because they don't need to sell him. But if he goes out and does it again, fair enough. He's, you know, in this modern market, he's worth more than that. I think Chris Wood's a great striker. He really thrived last year after, you know, a tough season the season before. There's a lot of criticism for him, and I think at the time it was pretty right because he wasn't playing well. He's done it one season. He's fantastic, and I think he is worth £15 million at the moment. I wouldn't say Leeds should take £15 million because they don't need to get rid of him. You know, they don't need the money. They don't need to replace someone like Wood. If he goes out and does it again next year, then fair enough. But if he goes out next year, and which I hope he doesn't, I hope he carries on his prolific form and gets 5-10 goals, then you're going, well, is he worth £20-25 million? Probably not, because it's only done it in one season. So it's all about consistency, back-to-back seasons, doing it again. And then I think you can go, well, he's worth 20, 25 million.
Indeed, we shall take a very short break in a moment. We'll carry on this debate with some of the points that Tom raises in the running order as well. Still to talk Fulham as well. We've got some transfer news, of course, which we always squeeze in before 7 o'clock and the evening show. But before we do, Mick has been back in touch. It's a bit of a long one.
Yes.
He says he thinks Championship managers should look outside the box like Wagner and spend what money they have bringing in players from abroad who have the potential and want to play over here. Too many players here don't live up to expectations and are happy being squad players instead of regular first-teamers. So, Mick, back at you. Do you think Leeds United then next year have got a fair crack at getting promotion with the business that they've done? Because it seems like they've taken a very similar approach. A guy that manager, head coach that's come in, not too many people are really aware of. He's got a good pedigree, albeit in, you would say, a lesser league, but he's done it in Europe as well. And he's signed players that, again, I've not heard of too many of the players that Leeds have brought in.
I think it's that case. I think the argument from Leeds this summer was, why should we spend in the English market that's overpriced, overinflated, when we can go and get better players abroad for less? Which is fine. And Huddersfield Town, like I said there, it kind of championed that last year. And it comes with, in fairness, it comes with having someone like David Wagner, who is genuinely talented at what he does. Someone who, if you're rated highly by Borussia Dortmund, no matter who you are, you're obviously very good at your job. Someone who's touted as future Dortmund head coach. They seem to do this appointing within. They were quite surprised when he left. But he went to Huddersfield. Not much budget. And they touched on there, you know, they spent a fair sum. You're looking at Christopher Schindler. Cost them a fair whack to get someone like that in. But they realised what a player he'd be. So, yeah, I think, you know, why cave in and say we should spend 10 million on this when you can go, well, actually, over in Spain, there's a player for 2 million who, you know, equally seems to be equally as talented but might want that chance, because I think he's got it bang on there. I think there are too many players floating around who just seem to be happy enough to be in squad players, seem to just get by, do whatever job they want, but can command quite a big wage, quite a big transfer fee, when there are players probably better, equally as good, who would, you know, thrive at the opportunity to come and play in England with a chance of getting to the Premier League. And for Huddersfield, the players they've brought in, I'm sure it's really paid off for them. They're going to be Premier League players next season.
Indeed, Philip says, if Fred Rosani's spending 20 million on Ellen Road, he obviously doesn't need to sell Chris Wood. Simon Church, Carl North says, a decent player, free agent, Wood and Church up front, good combo. He says, I can't see that one with the business Leeds are doing and where they're getting their players from, but good player. And I think Roof will shine this year. Now he has a year under his belt in the Championship. Yeah, agree?
10-plus goals, at least. He'll get over 10 goals this year. You imagine if... Find consistency with him, find where he wants to play. I think it was a confidence issue, big step up from last year, but yeah, should do very well if Leeds are doing well. Then he should be a big part of it.
Excellent. We'll take a very, very short break on the FL 72. Keep your predictions for the top six of the Championship coming in. It's changing week on week for me and everything else as well. Get your questions in. I mean, Tom will have a go at answering them. We'll also be speaking to Derek Clark, who's in situ at Nethermore ahead of Bradford against Guiseley this evening. So we'll check in with Derek next.
From Barnsley to Bradford, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
To Bradford, and Bradford are at Guiseley this evening in a pre-season friendly. Everyone goes to Austria, everyone goes to Guiseley as well, and Derek Clark is there for us. How are things looking up at Nethermore, Derek?
Yeah, a bit tight in the old press box, I'll tell you that. It's not suited for big guys like me, so it looks like it's going to be a sardine-esque situation this evening for this game, but should be a healthy turnout. I mean, it's absolutely ideal conditions for football. Sun's out, glorious night, so expecting quite a few bantams to head along, and of course the Guiseley supporters will be out in their numbers as well. It's already filling up as we speak, so expecting a good healthy turnout today.
Any news on teams?
Yeah, I do. I'll run through Guiseley first of all. Number of trialists for them. Johnny Maxted and Goldstein is there. Just counting the trialists here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trialists, no less, in the starting 11. Marcus Williams, Danny Lowe, Jake Lawler, John Rooney, and Rhys Thompson make up the starting 11. On the bench, a whole host of trialists. How many trialists have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4 trialists on the bench. Along with Rob Atkinson, Ash Palmer, Callum McFadgen, who they just signed recently, the Scottish under-21 international, Joe Green, Will Hatfield, James Wesolowski, and George Gummersall and Scott Smith. Bradford, meanwhile, they go with Colin Doyle in goals, and then it's Tony McMahon, Omari Patrick, Nathaniel Knight-Percival, Adam Chickson, Jake Reeves, Daniel Devine, Nicky Law, Dominic Polion, Paul Taylor, and a trialist, which I'm sure will be Gordon Greer. Of course, he was on trial with them in Austria on the pre-season tour, so I think that'll be him. I'll just double-check that and make sure that is the case. On the bench for the Bantams this evening, George Sykes, Ken Worthy, Jacob Hansen, Lachlan Barr, Ellis Hudson, Terrell Robinson, Callum Gunner, Curtis Peters, and Rhys Powell.
So Bradford's looking pretty strong. They've been to Austria as well. What are you making of what Bradford have done so far?
Well, I watched them against Bradford Park Avenue before they went to Austria, and they were rattled by 3-0. But Sir McCall said afterwards it's just all about getting fitness. That was the first game of the pre-season preparations, and you can tell a few of them weren't really up to speed. So he'd be hoping that when they took them away to that Austrian training camp, that they pick up a bit of fitness. And as the games go on, they've got this game. They're playing a game tomorrow as well. They say they're playing a strong team, so I think they're playing another second 11 in that one. So Stuart McCall will be hoping that they can get the fitness. And of course, it's not really too much about results at this stage, but you don't want to be getting hammered by non-league sides, that's for sure. It doesn't really do the confidence any good, so I'm sure Stuart McCall will be hoping for a better performance and result than the one they got against Bradford Park Avenue. And we should see them, I mean, the fitness tell as the games go on, you'd have to think.
And in terms of business and chances of getting promotion this season, do you think they're looking good after losing a couple of players early on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they lost a couple of big names, didn't they, at the start, and you thought that the whole squad's going to be dismantled after just missing out in promotion. But I think that they've acquired a number of decent additions. A number of them playing this evening. The likes of Adam Chickson's come in, Jake Reeves has come in as well. They paid a bit of money for him. Dominic Polion as well. Paul Taylor has come in as well. So they've brought a number of players in. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. I'm sure the Bantam supporters I spoke to against Bradford Park Avenue, they're quite excited by the season ahead. Brought a number of players in, they've got pace about them, so it's and they seem to be a bit on the young side as well, so they've got a number of young, hungry players in the squad now, so it'll just be a case of implementing them into the players that are already there. I think the big signing of the summer is keeping Tony McMahon, because, I mean, they lost Rory McArdle, of course, a number of experienced players left, Billy Clark left it as well, so you're hoping to keep the likes of Tony McMahon at the club, so I think him staying on for an extra year is massive for them. He'll help tremendously in the dressing room and also in the park as well. And Gordon Greer, that I mentioned there, he's been on trial with him. He'll be another asset for him, an experienced player, former Scotland international, of course, as well. So I think bringing him in as a free agent, I think he'll do a turn for Bradford when called upon.
Excellent. Derek, enjoy the game, and we shall catch up with you very shortly.
Cheers, guys.
There we go. Derek Clark at Bradford City's friendly against Guiseley at Nethermoor this evening. Thanks for your comments on Facebook. We've still got Tom's transfer roundup to come. Tom, get ready. As usual, we are running fastly out of time. Philip has his prediction for the top six. Fulham winning the league. Borough, Villa, Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds and Sheffield United. Very Yorkshire-centric. Size is going to be a star, says Vinny Stokes for Leeds. Mark Biko says he thinks Leeds will be in the playoffs this season, but does have faith in automatic promotion. Tom, transfer news. You've got about 60 seconds. You can do it. And you've also got one that we've not talked about from Fulham as well.
Yes, Fulham agree fee for Bordeaux striker Diego Roland. £5 million when we talk about how much championship strikers are worth, if he works out quite well. Bit of a decent business. Aston Villa and Burnley spoke about Villa's potential expected promotion candidates. Go head-to-head this month to land Scottish midfielder James McArthur from Crystal Palace. So a midfielder linked with them. Fulham agreed a loan deal with Premier League Liverpool for Shea Ojo. And another winger leaving is Norwich City's Jacob Murphy, set to sign for Newcastle United in the Premier League. Norwich City going or carrying on their German revolution. Of course, Stuart Webber there now from Huddersfield. Wonder where they got that idea from. Henne Behrens from Nuremberg will be joining them. And John Torrell from Arsenal on the radar of Derby County. Apparently, it could move there this summer. That's quickfire transfer.
Oh, he's done it in great time as well. Maybe we should look at that next year, the German revolution that's going on at Norwich. I have not seen too much about what's been going on. Got under my radar. That's maybe we should have a good look at Norwich next week.
They've copied Huddersfield. There's your answer.
Essentially. And with Fulham making those signings and Phillips saying them to win the league, can you see Fulham winning the league very quickly?
No, too much.
Excellent. Tom McGuire is on the way with the evening show. That's all from us on the FL 72.